Psalm chapter number 84. We're going to look at the whole psalm. We'll read verses 1 through 12 this morning in your notes. It should be there. So if you don't have a Bible this morning, you can follow along with all the passages that we'll be referring to in the message this morning. So Psalm chapter number 84. We'll read verses 1 through 12. It says, "How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts! My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Yea, the sparrow hath found an house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee. Selah. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, and whose heart are the ways of them, who passing through the valley of Baca make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. O Lord, God of hosts, hear my prayer, and give ear, O God of Jacob. Selah. Behold, O God, our strength, and look upon the face of thine anointed. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee." Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for your word. I thank you that in it we can find truth. And Father, not only do we find truth, but we find strength and comfort for our daily needs, for our spiritual walk with thee, for our daily spiritual battles. I thank you, Father, that we have the liberty and freedom where we can study your word and worship you, free from any sort of persecution and free from any fear that someone will do something to us this morning for studying and worshiping you, for studying your word. I pray that this morning as we get into this psalm, I pray first of all that you would fill me with your spirit, that what is said from this pulpit would be the truth of your word, that we would not compromise your truth, that I would not say something that you would not have me to say. I pray that your Holy Spirit would withhold any words that you would not have me to share, but only share the thoughts and the truths that you've placed on my heart with this message. I pray that there'd be a help and an encouragement to your people this morning, that we would be reminded of the truth of your house and how it is something that applies into our heart this morning. And I ask all this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter. I am the clay. Mold me and make
Well, there's truly no place like God's house this morning. It's a unique place. It's a place that is unique in every way that you can think of. God's house is a place that's unlike any other place. In 1939, MGM Studios released a film that I'm sure you've heard of called The Wizard of Oz. And if you've seen the movie, you know the story in The Wizard of Oz. The main character, Dorothy, is seen at first there with her neighbor, and the dog, her dog, bites the neighbor, and the neighbor's going to take the dog away. And then if you remember, the dog's in that bike, and it gets out of the neighbor's basket that's on her bike and runs back to Dorothy. And as she gets to Dorothy, Dorothy realizes that no one's defending her in her home, and she decides that she wants to run away. And as she begins to run away, she meets up with some fortune teller that reminds her why she needs to go back, that tells her that her aunt is perhaps sick. And so she starts going back, and in the midst of going back home, she runs into the tornado there in Kansas, and the tornado starts shaking, and she runs back. She can't get into the cellar there, so she goes into her room to try to escape the tornado. And at that point, the tornado picks up the house, picks up everything, and she's whisked away. And if you remember the story, she's got to follow this yellow brick road. She's given these red slippers, and she gets to follow the yellow brick road to get to the Emerald City to find this person, Oz. It's going to help her get back home. And if you remember, at the end of the movie, she gets there, and then they're getting ready to leave, and the hot air balloon is ready, and the dog jumps out, and she goes after the dog, and the hot air balloon goes away, and she thinks that she's going to be stuck there in the Emerald City, whatever she is, I don't know if it's like the good witch or whatever she is, comes and tells her there's still a way you can get home. You just got to tap your heels together and say there's no place like home. There's no place like home. There's no place like home. And then suddenly she begins to do that, and she wakes up and she's in her bed and she's back home and her family's all around her. And I say that to say this, that when you think about church, when you think about the house of God, I want you to think and remember, there's no place like God's home. There's really no place like God's house. When you look at Psalm chapter number 84, you'll find that it was written by someone that was describing the house of God, what the house of God meant to them. And some commentators believe it could have been David, as he was writing this in exile, running away from Saul, a time of 10 years in his life, or it could have been David when Absalom had ran him out of his own kingdom and ran him out of Jerusalem. And others believe that, other commentators believe it could have been a Levite, a priest, that wrote this psalm in the time that the temple was getting rebuilt again and looking forward to that time. But however the case is, whether it was David, whether it's a Levite, either way, the message is the same. And the author is talking about God's house and what it meant to him and how unique it was for him. So this morning I want to share with you from Psalm 84 just the effects that God's house has on his children. On those that come to the house of God, they find something that the house of God does that is very unique, that is very different from their home, wherever it may be, in the city in which they live, in the house in which they live. God's house is just so different. And I want to talk about the effects that this author writes about in Psalm chapter 84. I want you to notice, first of all, in your notes, that the first effect that it has is that my heart is satisfied. I want you to notice in verse number 1 that the psalmist writes, "How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts." How lovely are thy tabernacles. It's a satisfaction to your heart when you come to the house of God. It's a satisfaction because it satisfies, let me say, number 1, the desire for God. If you come to the house of God, you'll find that your heart's desire for him will be satisfied. You see, that word amiable is the Greek word yed-eed, and it means beloved, it means lovely, it means beautiful. And the psalmist is describing the house of God, and the first thing that comes to his mind when he thinks about the temple, when he thinks about the tabernacle of God, he first thinks of how lovely, how beautiful it is. That word, Yavid, is the word beloved. You'll find it used in Isaiah chapter 5, verse 1. You'll find it used in Jeremiah when he's talking about the people of Israel, how they're his beloved, the ones that he loves most. And here the psalmist is giving us the idea of his heart's desire. He reveals to us what his desire of the house of God is. It's a place that he loves, a place that he says is my beloved. Now, in this time of the year is a time when we really think about something that we love or a person that we love. We celebrate every 14th of February a holiday called Valentine's Day, and it's a day where you buy that special someone, that wife, that special gift, and you transmit and you communicate to her how much you love her. And many times, the culture here in America is that you buy a card and the card has something really nice, and then you write inside the card and you express your feelings for that person, how much you love them, how much they mean to you, how special and unique they are. And the psalmist, upon thinking about God's house, he thinks about that desire. He says, how amiable, how lovely, how beautiful is the house of God. It is something that he longed for deeply. He says in verse number 2, my soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. It reminds me what Isaiah chapter 26, verse 8 and 9 says. The prophet says, yea, in the way of thy judgment, O Lord, have we waited for thee. The desire of our soul is to thy name and to the remembrance of thee. With my soul, he says, have I desired thee in the night. Yea, with my spirit within me will I seek thee early. The prophet had that same love towards God. He said, I will seek you early in my day. I desire the desire of my soul is you, is the place where God is at. We find that in God's house is where our heart's desire is fulfilled. It is satisfied. I wonder this morning if your heart is that kind of desire this morning. I wonder if we come to the house of God with a desire that says, God, I want more of you. God, I want you to satisfy that longing that is in my soul. So many times, if we're not careful as Christians, we begin to look at the house of God as something that is just routine, as something that is just to be checked off of our religious list. Something that we do on Sunday morning, but there's no passion behind it. There's no longing for it. There's no thought of how beautiful and unique of a place it is. It's just something to go, or some place to go and something to do. The psalmist reminds us this morning that there is a desire for God that can only be satisfied in the house of God. Oh, I thank God this morning that we can worship him anywhere. You know, the Bible says that we can worship him in our bedroom, on our bed. You can worship him at your job, in the workroom. You can worship God any place and any time. But there's a special and unique relationship, and there's a special and unique place in the house of God. It's a building. It's just like any other building, but it's very unique in that it's dedicated just directly for the worship of God. You'll find that if you look online, you can find the State Farm Arena, which is in Hidalgo. You'll find that in that arena, it seats like 8,000 to 10,000 people or something like that when they put all the seats in there. And throughout the year, you'll find that they have concerts of every kind. They have concerts of bands that'll come and play. Recently, this last few weeks, they had the WWE come and perform. The wrestlers did a Monday night thing on there, and they went and performed there, and you'll find that this month the teenagers we're going to go to the monster truck rally that's going to be there in that arena. But you'll find in State Farm Arena they use that for all kinds of things, all kinds of concerts, all kinds of events. But you'll notice that in churches it ought to be, and maybe in some churches it's not, but I'll tell you, in our church we have dedicated this building to the worship of our God. We don't use it for concerts and to bring bands in to just sing and do things like that. We don't use it for big social events to come and have wrestling matches, if you will. We don't use it for anything like that. We use it for the worship of our God. Why? Because it's what satisfies that desire, our longing that our soul has is the house of God. We find that the psalmist reminds us our heart is satisfied in our desire for God, but it's also satisfied in the presence with God. in its presence with God. It is a place to dwell with Him. You'll find in verse number 3 that the psalmist uses the picture of the sparrow and the picture of the swallow. He says, "The sparrow hath found a house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God." He uses this picture to picture the presence of God. He starts to envy, if you will, a little bit the swallow and the sparrow. As he would go to the tabernacles, he would see that they were able to put their nests, perhaps there in the folds of the tabernacle. They were able to put their nests there and to fly over and to just make their abode there. If you know the story of David, you know that David says David lived in a palace, and his heart's desire was so much for God that he asked God if he would be allowed to build the first temple there in Jerusalem. And God did not give him that privilege and opportunity. He said, "No, I don't want you to do it, but I'm going to let your son build that place, that house for me." But David said, "Well, can I at least get the material for you?" And God said, "Yes, you can get the material." And David began to get all the material that he could, the best that the land had to offer, the best gold and the best silver and the best wood and the best of everything. He wanted the house of God to be as beautiful as it could be. But his desire was to really be in the presence of God. He wanted to be. He said, "Man, if I could just be like that swallow, if I could just be like that sparrow, I would do that. I would dwell in the house of the Lord." I like what Psalm chapter 27 in verse number 4 says. Psalm 27, it's not in your notes, verse number 4, but he says this. He says, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord." We find that the psalmist had a desire not just to worship God, not only a desire to fellowship with God, but a desire to dwell with God. And he uses that picture, and he not only uses the picture of the swallow and the sparrow, but in verse number 4, he reminds us of those that are blessed to be in there, the priests. He says, "Those that dwell, they dwell in thy house, they will be still praising thee." He says, man, how blessed they are, those birds and those priests that are able to dwell with God in his house. You see, in the house of God, not only do we have our desire for God satisfied, but we have that desire for His presence satisfied. We find that it is a place to dwell with God. It is a place to praise Him. He says in verse number 4, "They that dwell in thy house, they will be still praising thee." Reminds me of Psalms chapter 122, verses 1 through 4. Says, "I was glad when they said unto me, Let us go into the house of the Lord. Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem is builded as a city that is compact together. Whither the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, unto the testimony of Israel, to give thanks unto the name of the Lord." He says, see, the house of God is a place where we come to praise and glorify the name of Christ. The name of God is exalted in the house of God. He is the focus of why we come to worship. He is the one that we come to draw nigh unto. We don't come only for a fellowship with one another. We don't come just to see what we can get free from the gifts of the classrooms. We don't come just to hang out with everybody else like a social club would do, just to come and see how everybody's life is going. No, we come to the house of God to have the presence of God in our life. We find that the psalmist reminds us that one of the effects of being in the house of God is that my heart is satisfied. I wonder this morning, as you come to the house of God, are you finding satisfaction in Him? Is your soul longing to go after Him? Are you longing and desiring to be in His presence this morning? My friend, every Christian ought to have that attitude as they come to the house of God. You ought not come with an attitude of, let's see what I can get. Let's see what God will do. Let's see what the preacher will say. No. It ought to be a desire that says, I want to be in the house of God. I want His presence in my life. I want God in my life. But not only do we see the first effect that our heart is satisfied, but we notice secondly that our heart is strengthened. You'll see that the psalmist in verse number 5 begins to say, "Blessed is a man whose strength is in thee, and whose heart are the ways of them who, passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. I want you to understand this morning that valley there in verse number 6, the valley of Baca. It's not a valley that anybody really can identify. It's never really described in the Bible as a literal place. But in the Psalms, you'll find that there are many valleys that the Psalms are written about that are just sort of symbolic. If you remember in Psalm chapter 23, verse 4, it says, that yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. That's not a literal valley. It's talking about that moment before we pass from this life to the next life. It's that shadow of death, that valley, that moment that we have. It's just a symbolic valley. And here in Psalm 84, verse 5, the valley of Baca is very much a symbolic valley. Baca was a balsam tree, a tree that if you would to begin to open up its twigs or branches there, you'd find that it begins to drip sort of this water. Reminds people of tears. And every year for three times a year, the pilgrims, those that were in Israel, had to go up to worship in the house of God. Three times a year they had to make that pilgrimage up. And he's talking here, the psalmist is talking about when he would make that journey back to Jerusalem, back to that tabernacle of God. And he remembers that he says, as I went through the valley of Baca, that valley of tears, that valley where in my pilgrimage there were times of difficulty. And let me just say in your notes, your heart is strengthened through times of sorrow in the house of God. As you come to the house of God, you'll find that there is comfort to be had in the times of sorrow. One thing that you learn if you live long enough on this earth is that you'll find that everybody has a valley of Baca. Everyone has a valley of tears, a valley of sorrow in their life. Everyone goes through those times. Everyone has times of difficulty where they need to be strengthened by the Lord. The psalmist reminds us this morning that his heart was strengthened every time he got to the house of God. And those times of sorrow, I want you to notice that those times of sorrow are passing. I like what he says in verse number 6. He says, who passing through. And may I just say this morning, if you are in a valley of tears this morning, if you are going through a difficult time in your life, can I just say it's going to be a passing time. It's not a place that you'll stay there forever. It is it's a place that God will get you out of. Psalm 30, verse 5 says, for his anger endureth but a moment. In his favor is life. Weeping, he says, may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. May I say that in the valleys of Baca in your life, in those times of sorrows, you'll find in the house of God that there is strength, that there is comfort for you. We find that it is a passing thing, but your heart must be strengthened in those times. Not only are we strengthened through times of sorrow, but through times of weakness. You'll notice in verse number 7 that he says, in the day of, he says, they go from strength to strength, every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. We see that through times of weakness, we are strengthened. He gives daily strength. That's why that phrase there means that they go from strength to strength. It's something that he gives daily. He gives you the comfort that you need. He gives you the strength that you need on a daily basis. Now, how does he give that strength? We find there that the psalmist says he gives strength through that prayer. Through prayer, you'll notice in verse number 8, he says, O Lord of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O Jacob, O God of Jacob. I want you to notice that he's not being repetitive there. And I don't know if you're having the habit of underlining there in your Bible, but you'll notice that he says, hear my prayer. He says, O Lord of hosts, hear my prayer. He identifies, first of all, God as the Lord of hosts. He refers to God as the God that is powerful. The Lord of hosts is a title that's used for God many times throughout the Bible, and it always refers to God's power, God's might. And in his prayer, he says, God, give me the strength because you are the God that is all powerful. I need some of that power today. Will you strengthen me with your power? And so he reminds us this morning that we are to ask for God's power in our life. And may I say, it is a request that should be made on a daily basis. every day. Do you know that today's strength is good for today, but tomorrow you're going to need God's strength again. You're going to need God's power in your life once again tomorrow. It's not just for Sunday, and it's not just for Monday, but on Tuesday, you're going to need to ask for God's power once again. You're going to need God's strength in your life. Why? Because life sometimes is weak. It gets you to times of weakness in your life where you feel like you can't go any further. I'm sure there were times, if you look back and think about 2016, you can think about many times where you had the thought, maybe I should stop. Sundays is just too much of a sacrifice. It's just hard to get up this early all the time and ask my family to get up and my little ones to get up and have a shorter night of rest than they usually get. Sometimes it's hard to get everybody ready and get excited to be at the house of God. And sometimes it just seems like life is just very, very tough. And you get very, very weak. The psalmist reminds us this morning that there is strength, there is power in God. But then he says in verse number eight, he says, O Lord God of hosts, he reminds God that he is the God of all power. But then he says, give ear, O God of Jacob. He reminds us that God is a God of mercy. If you know the story of Jacob and how Jacob in his life received so many blessings from God, and it wasn't because Jacob was such a spiritual man. You find that God was merciful unto Jacob. You find that Jacob was a deceiver early on in his life. He was a liar. He was one that tried to always trade and deceive people, to get the better of people all the time. That was his focus in life. Much of his life was that, and it brought many consequences in his life. And yet we find that the psalmist reminds us that all-powerful God is that God that was the God of Jacob, that God that was merciful. May I say, if your heart is to be strengthened, that you must be reminded not only that God is powerful, but that God is merciful. Do you know, I don't know what you are going through in this life. I don't know what decisions you have made in your life. I don't know what consequences you are living out because of decisions that you made prior to becoming a Christian, or perhaps as a Christian, wrong choices that you've made, and they bring consequences. God doesn't always stop all the consequences of our wrong decisions. But you know that God is always merciful in those wrong decisions. God is always merciful with what happens in your life and in my life. The psalmist reminds us that God in our weaknesses, because of life being tough, because of wrong choices in our life, he reminds us God is still merciful. God still wants to use you. God still wants to do something great in your life. And I remind you this morning that in God's house is where you can find that strength. It's in God's house where you learn that God is merciful. It's in God's house, maybe as a little boy, a little girl, if you grew up in church, you remember hearing the story of Jacob and reminding yourself of how God used Jacob in his life and how God was present and powerful in Jacob's life. You're reminded that God is still merciful today. Can I tell you this morning, God still wants to do something great. I love what Psalm 27:13 says. He said, the psalmist said, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Psalms 116 verse 1 and 2 says, I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications, because he hath inclined his ear unto me. Therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. You know what the psalmist had learned? He learned that in God's house, as we take time to pray, as we take time to hear his word, our heart becomes strengthened. I say this morning, we are here to be strengthened by our God. But I want you to notice, thirdly, not only is our heart satisfied and our heart is strengthened in the house of God, but the psalmist also says that our heart is trusting in the house of God. Our heart is trusting. I want you to notice as he finishes this psalm, he says in verse number 9, Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. For a day in thy courts is better than 1,000. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. Verse 11 says, For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing, he says, will he withhold from him that walketh upright. I want you to notice that the psalmist reminds us, in the house of God, you'll find that your heart is trusted. What is he trusting in? Number one, in God's purpose. In God's purpose. In verse number 10, he said, I would rather be in the courts, in thy courts, better than 1,000 out of God's house. Better than one day in God's house is better than 1,000 days out of it, in other words. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. What he's trying to communicate there, he's saying, I'd rather do God's purpose and live God's purpose in my life than my own purposes. I'd rather have God as the goal in my life than to dwell in the house, in the tents of wickedness, and have that as my goal. I'd rather have God as my legacy and what God is doing in my life as my legacy than having riches as my legacy. We find that God has a higher position than any the world can offer. He said, I'd rather be as a doorkeeper. And the doorkeeper wasn't one of those positions in the tabernacle that was great and revered like the high priest. It wasn't the same priest that was going to be sacrificing the sacrifices on the burnt altar. No, the doorkeeper was simply the one that was there at the door. It was looked upon many times as the lowliest of the jobs of the priests that were there at the tabernacle. And the psalmist said, I'd rather be that. I'd rather have the lowest position in the house of God than the highest position in the tents of wickedness. And the eyes of this world reminds us not only of our purpose, but the priority of that purpose. Matthew 6:33 says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Paul said in Philippians 1:21, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. In other words, he was saying, just as the psalmist, listen, in the house of God, I'd rather be there than in any other place. I'd rather be here than be in the office of the President of the United States. I'd rather be in the house of God today than being the CEO of the largest company in the world. I'd rather be in the house of God than in any other place that this world has to offer. Psalmist said, there I can find trust in the purposes of God. There in the house of God. You see, we come here to this place to find God's purpose for our life. Reminded this morning that God has a perfect purpose for you and for me. But the psalmist said, not only are we trusting in his purpose, but we're trusting in his life-giving power. I want you to notice in verse 11, he said, for the Lord God is a sun and shield. It's interesting that he says that he is a sun and shield. You see, when you think about the sun, you think about what the sun does in our life. Do you know, if the sun were to stop shining, we'd find out 8 minutes from now, but everything on earth would die. You know, the sun is so important to growth on our planet. Water is very important. Without water, they say there can be no life, but the sun is just as important. Do you know that if you give water to a plant, but you never give it any sunlight, it won't grow? The sun has an effect on all the on plants and on trees to help them to grow. It's that life-giving force, if you will, in their existence. And the psalmist reminds us we can trust in him. Why? Because he has life-giving power for us today. He gives us all that we need. And let me just say, all that we need isn't always what we want, but it is all that we need. I'm reminded of our son, Elijah, the older one, when he gets sick. And it's not often that he gets sick, but he sometimes gets sicker more often than I'd like. And when he gets sick, whether it's a cold or a fever, you have to give him medicine. And sometimes that medicine doesn't taste great. Sometimes he wants me to stop giving him medicine. Sometimes he wants to run away and hide so I can't catch him to give him what he needs. And sometimes in our life, in our walk with God, sometimes we think we know what we need. And God has to remind us, listen, I know what you need more than you know what you need. And I'm going to give you what you need. I'm going to give you what will give you life. I will give you the power that you need for this life. He gives us all that we need. We find that He is that life-giving sun. He is that shield of protection. He is what provides what we need in every area of our Christian life. I like what He says in verse number 11. He says, the Lord will give grace and glory. He said, no good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, He said, blessed is the man that trusteth in Thee. Warren Wiersbe noted of this passage and commented, he said, He is the giving God and He gives grace and glory. Grace for the journey and glory at the end of the journey. Let me just say this morning that that's exactly the God that we worship. He is the God that we come to His house this morning. The God that is a life-giving God. I like what 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10 says. He said, but the God of all grace who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Peter reminded those Christians, listen, of what the psalmist reminds us this morning. God is that God in whom your heart can trust today. Let me just say, if you are here this morning and you've never made that decision to give your life to Jesus Christ, to trust Him to be your Savior, let me just say, you're in the place where you can make that decision. The house of God is where you can find trust in God, trust for salvation. If you don't know today that heaven is your home, that Jesus is your Savior, that you've been forgiven of all your sin, that decision can be made today. But I love that the Bible says He's not only our sun, but our shield. He provides all that you need, Christian, this morning. He provides the power that you need. He provides the protection that you need. That shield is a picture of protection. It's what they were used in battle to stop the swords and the spears and the arrows from piercing them. That shield was that protection that they needed. And the psalmist says, you know, in God's house, we find that we can trust in the God that provides and the God that protects in our life. The God that gives grace in our times of weakness. I wonder this morning as you come to the house of God, I wonder, first of all, is your heart being satisfied? You come with a heart that is longing to delight in Him, to seek after Him. I wonder if you, as you come to the house of God, are you being strengthened by His Word? You know, it's hard to be strengthened by the Word of God when our mind is elsewhere during the preaching of the Word of God, during the teaching of the Word of God. That's why it's so important, may I say, to get connected in one of our Sunday school classes. So, well, what's so important about that? To take more time to grow, to be strengthened. You say, you can't be strengthened in the Word of God, in the house of God, when you don't stay for the Word of God. Let me just encourage you this morning to be strengthened by being here. Not only in your presence, but being focused on what God has for you. On the message that God wants to give you this morning. That's where how we are strengthened. And I wonder this morning, are you trusting as you come to the house of God? Where is your trust today? The psalmist ended that psalm, O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in Thee. You want God to do something in your life? You want God's blessing in your life? You want to seek after God in your life? Then we must understand that we must be in the house of God. It's unlike any other place on earth. It's unique in every way. This morning, what is your attitude towards the house of God? Are you like the psalmist longing for it? Or is it just something you do on the day? I pray that our hearts would be trusting, strengthening, and satisfied in the house of God. Let's pray. Father, I thank You so much for Your word. And